Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Look with me tonight in verse 27. Hebrews, ain't it good to be in the Lord's house tonight? Amen. My glasses couldn't take the Lord there. Amen. But it's good. I tell you, I'm excited about Him. I really am. I'm excited about the Lord, and I hope you are tonight too. Amen. I'm excited. Hebrews 11, stand to your feet tonight, if you would. We'll read one verse tonight. And listen, I know we got some food over here, and we're going to go eat just here in a little bit. But let's not get in a hurry tonight. Amen. And I'll try not to be too long. As I was looking at this message, I thought, well, it'll be a short message. And boy, Nick said amen right there. But it'll take a little while to get there tonight. So you hang with me, and we'll try not to be too long this evening. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. Look with me tonight. And the Bible says, by faith, talking about Moses now, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You can be seated tonight. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for this wonderful night that you've given us so far. And Lord, we're glad for the promise and that of heaven tonight for every child of God that's saved. You promised us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to be absent from this body is to be present with you. You promised us in the very first verse that we have a building and that's in heaven that's not made by hands, but it's eternal and that with you. And we thank you for that promise tonight. But Lord, while we get ready to preach here for the next little while, I pray that you might help us and that anoint us tonight. And Lord, that your people would find encouragement from the Word of God and find direction. And Lord, that you'd help the one that might be lost tonight to be saved. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for all of it tonight and tell you that we love you and ask you to save that sinner its nearest tail. Thank you for these folk that come tonight, Lord. I pray they'd receive a blessing. And again, we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we pick up in verse 27, now Moses began to come to light here in verse 23 when it talks about by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. And so we looked and that about the faith of Jochebed and Amram, his parents, that they had faith and that to put him in that bulrush or to keep him for 3 months and then put him in that ark of bulrushes and send him down the river and Pharaoh's daughter found him. And then we found in verse 24 where it talked about by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And we looked in Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 7, about how that he understood that he was going to deliver the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. But they did not understand that at that time. And so we come to this part in Moses' life after he had decided he was going to join himself with the people of God in verse 25 and verse 26. The Bible said by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who he is invisible. Now I want you to remember one thing as we preach on the faith and that of Moses tonight, of what Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, that it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Moses had been spoke to, and that by the Lord. We understand that. And as we look in verse 27, as Moses was leaving and that Egypt, he was not going to fear the wrath of the king. Now take your Bible and go to Exodus chapter 2 tonight, and we'll get started. In Exodus chapter 2, Moses has decided down, let's see if I can find it, in verse 11. In Exodus chapter 2, look with me in verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Now if you go to Acts chapter 7 verse 23, you'll find out that was 40 years old. 40, so it says when he was grown, that he went out into his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out on the second day, behold, 2 men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to them, said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? See, you got to remember now in Acts chapter 7, Moses understood that he was going to be the deliverer and that of the nation of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. But this fellow right here said, who's made you a prince and a judge over us? Then look what he said. Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? Listen, you can't get away with sin. Did you know that? It always catches you and always finds out, even though you think you got it healed. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 33 said, to be sure that you sin will find you out. Now look what your Bible said next. And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. Now if you go back and you look at what he said in the book of Hebrews, now hold your place in Exodus, but it said by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Listen, I don't believe that this verse in the book of Hebrews is referring to the first time when Moses and that left Egypt. Hey, listen, the first time that Moses left Egypt, he left in fear. Boy, he left in that fearing that he was going to be killed as sure as the world. And he knew that the king, Pharaoh, was going to get him. Listen, God had a plan for Moses' life. But listen, sometimes, you know, God don't show you everything. Amen. I believe that Moses realized that he was going to be the deliverer of the children of Israel, but God had some other plans for Moses' life. Now I want you to stay with me as I go real fast and get over here and we can look at the part out of where Moses and that forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Listen, for 40 years Moses ends up down there at Jethro's house. And he meets Jethro and one of his daughters. He ends up marrying and he gets to be a shepherd. If you read the book of Exodus chapter 3, on the backside of the desert, and he gets out there just him and God by theirself. And if you look in Exodus chapter 3 and verses 2 through 10, you'll find out where God called Moses. You'll find in verse 1 it says he's on the backside of the desert and then we find that burning bush that was not consumed and God called unto Moses and he answered God and God told him to take his shoes off for where he was standing was holy ground. One other time we find that same thing mentioned in the Bible. In the book of Joshua chapter 5, when the captain of the Lord's host is over there, as the children of Israel is fixing to take and that the city of Jericho, he said, are you for us? Are you for our adversary? And he said, as the captain of the host of the Lord, he said, I'm for you. And he said, take your shoes off, Joshua. And so they were on holy ground. And so God, from verses 2 through 10 in Exodus 3, called Moses. But then in Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through chapter 4 through 9, and that has to convince Moses about some things. Take your Bible and look with me in Exodus chapter 3. And I mean, God just begins to lay some things out to Moses here to prove who he is. You know, sometimes we get in a place where we want God to prove who he is. Now I'm talking about living by faith. You know, living by faith means that we're going to live and that trust in God. Put our hope and our trust and our belief in Him that He is going to see us through. And so here Moses is. God begins to convince Moses of His calling. Look what He said right there. He said in verse 10, He said, come now, therefore, and I will send thee. So we find that God said, I'm going to send you Moses. And the very first thing they told Moses about how he was going to convince him was in verse 12. He said, certainly I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now it's like the Lord right there, ain't it? Now Moses, you'll know that I sent you when you get the people over here on top of the mountain. That wouldn't help me much neither. And I don't think that helped Moses much either. God said, when you get over here on top of Mount Horeb, he said, you'll know that it was me that done everything. You know what God done for Moses? He started in reverse and started working backwards. He had him all the way over here on Mount Horeb already. Think about that now. He said, Moses, you're going to go get them and you're going to bring them all the way to this mountain right here that you're on right now. And that'll be a token that I'm the one that done it. And so Moses said, Lord, who do I say that sent me then? When I get down there to the land of Egypt, they're going to say, what is his name? What is the name of God, the one that sent you? In verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Can I tell you tonight, he is the I am. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you in John chapter 6, how the Lord said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. You look in John chapter 9, boy, you'll find a lot of I ams in the book of John, by the way. He said, I am the light of the world. John 10, I am the door. John 10, I am the good shepherd, the Son of God. John 11, the resurrection life. John 13, 13, Lord and Master. John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Revelation chapter 1, he said, I am the Alpha and Omega. He said in Revelation 1, 17, I am the first and the last. But you know the one that I love most of all? It's found in John 18 when Judas comes over there with that band of folk and there he's going to betray the Lord Jesus and he and the Lord Jesus asked him, said, who do you look for? And you know, they said, we look for Jesus of Nazareth. And you know what he said? He said, I am he. And you know what happened? When he said, I am he, the power of God blowed up and they all fell backwards and fell up. Hey, I'm glad it's all about him tonight. And not about us. Amen. I am that I am hath sent you, Moses. So you go down there. Boy, you can read in John chapter 8. And you know what the Lord Jesus told them Pharisees over there? He said, yeah, he said, I am was before Moses or before Abraham. He said, I am was before Abraham. So here we are. He said, now Moses, I am's my name. You go down there and you tell them that I am hath sent you. But when you get down there, you realize something, Moses. Now listen, God's laying it out right here for him. Down somewhere around verse 19, and verses 18 and 19, he said, look, Pharaoh ain't going to let you go. He said, Pharaoh, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and he ain't going to let you go. Not easy. He said, what's this got to do with anything, preacher? By faith. Moses, when he left Egypt, didn't fear the wrath of the king. Why didn't he do that? What's your scripture say over there? What's it say? For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. God's laying it out how it's going to happen to Moses. All right, Moses. When you get ready to go, not only is Pharaoh going to harden his heart, when you tell him that you want to go out there for 3 days and worship in the wilderness, but he said then, are you not only going to do that, but on the way out, by the way you're leaving, you're going to spoil the Egyptians because you're going to borrow everything of your neighbor. And that wasn't enough for Moses, I don't guess, because he said in verse 1 of chapter 4, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So this is where we find that Moses takes his rod. God said, what do you got in your hand, Moses? He said, I've got a rod. He said, throw it down. And he throwed it down, and it turned into a snake. Now I've got a rod in my study. And I almost brought that thing. You know why I didn't? I was afraid it turned into a snake. I'd run. Amen. I hate a snake, man. I would. And you know what? The Bible said in verse 3, and Moses fled from before it. I'm right there with him. Amen. The only one that hates one worse than I do is Mitchell Gagin. Amen. Told you. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Well, Moses had faith, didn't he? I mean, here God said, reach down there and get it. Hey, it'd be great faith for me to reach down, pick up any snake by the tail. Amen. And so here my God said, Moses, take your rod, throw it down, and it turned into a snake. And God said, pick it up again, and it turned into a rod again. Now remember, God is trying to convince Moses. How many times has God got to convince us to do something for Him? He calls us and tells us, but then we need a little help and that to go. Need a little convincing that this is the direction to go. So here Moses is. So he went on with that. And the Lord said in verse 6, He said, put now forth thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. So that hand was eat up with leprosy when he pulled it out. God said, put it in your bosom again. He put it in his bosom. He pulled it out. And it was the same color as the rest of his flesh. And then God went on to say this. He said in verse 9, if it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So Moses had to be convinced to live by faith and go forward. But then, even when God had done His best, I guess you might say, to convince Moses, then God had to chide with Moses a little bit. And what does that word chide mean? That means He had to kind of scold Moses, because Moses went on to say in verse 10, He said, oh my Lord, I'm not an eloquent, neither heretofore. I always thought that's funny. He said, God, I can't talk plain and I'm not eloquent in my speech, but He uses the word heretofore. Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of a slow speech and a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or the deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. So first God said, Moses, just go. He said, just go. I've convinced you and proved who I am and showed you who I am. Just go. I made your mouth. I've made the seeing. I've made the blind. I've made the deaf. And I made your mouth. It's amazing who God can use sometimes, ain't it? I'm amazed God can use me. I don't know nothing. I ain't nobody. But sometimes I'm amazed at what God uses His people and how He uses His people. Look in verse 13. Here Moses is again. He said, oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Well, I'm telling you, just listen, Lord, just send somebody. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. So we find that right there, and that takes care of Moses. He gets convinced and that to go. He finally complies with God's command. God said, I'll tell you what, I'll let Moses do the talking, you do the miracle working, and we'll get them free from the land of Egypt. Now I'm talking about that Moses didn't fear the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who was invisible. And I'm going fast, or trying to. And so he goes down to the children of Israel and says, God has sent me to deliver you. Boy, they're excited. I mean, they're ready to go. They're packing their bags and they're getting things headed in that for Canaan. And they go before Pharaoh, Moses, and Aaron does. And I mean, they end up throwing that rod down. Or actually, they come over there and say, look, we're going to go out in the wilderness and sacrifice for 3 days. And Pharaoh said, who's the Lord? I don't know the Lord. Why should I let you go and that to sacrifice unto the Lord? And then Pharaoh said, well, they've got enough time on their hands to go out and sacrifice for 3 days. He said, I want you to make their burdens harder than what they already are. He said, you let them go gather straw. But yet they can't diminish from what they're building in brick service. In other words, they had to keep on making their quota just like they always had. And so when Pharaoh began to afflict them, and they had to go get their own straw to make their own brick, and then they wanted to know why Moses had done what he had done. Don't you see how hard that it's got, Moses? Don't you see what's happened to us? They got disheartened because of the work and the abuse, and at this time they didn't want to have anything to do with Moses. A few minutes ago, they were happy to have Moses there, and they were ready to pack their bags and go to Canaan land, but when the going got tough, they wanted to quit. Some of them had to know 430 years was up. It was time to go. God told Abraham, said, you're going to be down there for 400 years in captivity. That's what he told Abraham. Man, somebody had to know that 400 years was coming to an end and it was time to leave. How many times have we got in the middle of the work and boy, we were excited when we started and it was easy when we started and boy, God was real when it started but boy, in the middle of it, it got disheartened because it got hard. Serving God is not always easy. It's always right. It's just not always easy. Why? Because there's always an adversary. See, you have to understand, Egypt is a great type of the world, and Pharaoh is a great type of the devil, and he's always going to be against the children of God. I'm going somewhere with all this. So it got hard, and they wanted to quit. What do you think that Timothy and that, or that Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You go down two verses later, and he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Y'all know I was preaching on separation this morning. That's not a fun message to preach. We left and was going to get some dinner, and I was telling Kelly on the way out, I said, I was talking to the Lord while I was preaching this. Well, you know, you can't do that, pray and preach and do all those things at the same time. You got to be careful. You knock your glasses off over here on the floor. And then you're blind. And I was telling the Lord, Lord, it's a little tough in here this morning, preaching on separation. And he said, what did you expect? Amen. Hey, when you got some folk in here that's not being separated, that's like, you know, it's easy to plow in ground that's soft. It's easy to plow in ground that's been plowed in many, many, many times and the rocks has already been thrown out. But when you set that plow down in the ground and you begin to plow in foul ground, in other words, ground that ain't been broke up in a while, it gets a little hard to plow sometimes. And you know what you do? You just set the plow down and you just keep going and plowing, don't you? You just lay hold on it and set her down and go and plow. You just have to endure hardness. Let me tell you something. We have to endure hardness in serving the Lord sometimes. So they get over here. Pharaoh won't let them go. So you know what happens in Exodus 7 through 12? God sends all them plagues down there in the land of Egypt. He turns the river into blood, sends the frogs, turns the dust into lice, flies come. There's a murrain upon the beast. That's a very bad disease, kills them. He sends bulls and blains upon men and upon beasts. Bulls and blains is the bulls jump up and the blain is an ooze and blister. And then he sends hail and hell fire mingled together. And then he sends the locust and then darkness. By the way, the Bible, when it talked about darkness, talked about the darkness that could be felt. If you want to talk about darkness to be felt, go down into the, I guess the best way to put it, some of you know where I'm going with this, go to the Lost Sea and when they turn out the lights down there. And you can literally take your hand and place it right here in front of you and hold it and you can't see it. It's dark. And I believe that's the same darkness that they had over in the land of Egypt. And finally, in Exodus 12, God sent the death of the firstborn. So now we finally got to where we needed to be in the book of Hebrews. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. How could Moses, the first time, fear the king? And the second time, not fear the king. I believe that he knew who God was the first time. I believe that God had spoke to him and he had seen God move in his life. But boy, when it come the second time, and it come that night for them to have the Passover, and for them and that to leave Egypt, God knew, or that Moses knew, that God was on his side. If there's anything I can get you to see tonight, is that if you're saved and you're serving Him, God is on your side. He's for you tonight. Amen. Hey, I don't know what the trouble is in serving Him tonight, but when Moses got ready to leave Egypt, he didn't fear the king. He didn't fear what could happen to him. Why? Bible said, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. When it became time to leave, and he realized that even though Pharaoh was going to chase him down, and even though Pharaoh was going to be after him, he wasn't going to quit. Bible said he endured. You know what that word endured means? To last or to finish. You know, there's something I love to see more than anything. That's to see the end of a child of God. What are you talking about, to see the end of a child of God? I like to see that Christian last all the way till death. Never quit. Never give up. I mean, just want to serve God to their last dying breath and going to serve God till then. Well, you're talking about making preaching a funeral a whole lot easier. What's folk going to say about you at the end of it all? Seriously. You know all I want folk to say about me? I want you to say that I love God and that's proved in my life, but that I endured to the end. Not that I had to endure to the end. It's Matthew 20. After I said that, it made me think of Matthew 24 over there. But that I lasted. That I didn't quit. That I didn't give up. And that he loved God. So here Moses is. He what? He forsook Egypt and the wrath of the king, but didn't fear it, for he endured. He didn't quit when the children of Israel wanted to quit. They said, don't go down there and bother Pharaoh. He didn't quit when Pharaoh time and time again said, I'm not going to let you go. Moses didn't quit. They got out there. I mean, they have left. The death of the firstborn has happened. And they get on the road out there and headed to the Red Sea even. You know what happens? Pharaoh gets after them. Take your Bible and look in Exodus chapter 14. I want to show you something that I don't think I've ever... I've probably seen it, just ain't never applied it before. I want you to look in Exodus 14. Children of Israel's on the way out. Now they've had the Passover in Exodus 12. And Exodus 13, they're getting headed out. And they're headed that direction. And God's put that pillar of fire by night and pillar of cloud by day. And in verse 1 of chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. Now watch this right here, verse 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, God told Moses what was going to happen. He said, you're going, you're leaving, you're headed in the right direction, and when you get headed that way, Pharaoh's going to come after you. And so Pharaoh gets after them. Now look in verse 11. Well, let me back up. Look in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. No, it ain't. I would rather die in the wilderness, die free, die away from this world, than to die in Egypt. No, sir. No, ma'am. They said we would rather die down in the land of Egypt serving them. That's like saying we'd rather be in the world and serving the world. That's where we want to die. God told them, look, they're going to chase you, but I'm going to be honored upon them. In other words, I'm going to have my say. And so Moses said in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, look, the very first thing he said, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Look why, verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Amen. What's your Bible say about Moses? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know the message tonight, out of all that reading, out of all that mess tonight, you know what the message is tonight? You can endure and you can last by faith, if you'll just see Him who's invisible tonight. If you'll just look to Him, the one that's in heaven, and depend on Him and trust Him tonight, you'll make it through every time. You say, preacher, that's easy preaching and hard practicing. We go back to the Word of God again, and He left us this Word so that we'd know that He was true. And there's been many times in life where I've had to live by faith and God has come through. And you know what I live by sometimes? I live by the Word of God, but I live by sometimes those times that God has come by and proved Himself and showed Himself. And I think when Moses was leaving Egypt, he knew that he could leave by faith and look out and say, I'm following God no matter what happens. I'm following Him. He got me down here in the land of Egypt. He never left me one time. God's people left me. God's people hated me. But God never left me down here. And He brought me through every bit of it. Can I tell you tonight, He'll do us the same way. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I got to think about that late this evening as I was looking over this, as seeing Him who is invisible. You know, God hides on us sometimes, don't He? But He's still out there. Still remembering Job 23, where He says, go forward and backward and sideways and everything else. And He said, I can't find Him, but He knoweth the way that I take. I'm just reminded that God is watching us. Can I tell you, to have faith like Moses tonight, he forsook the world. Can I tell you, the world ain't got nothing for us tonight, church. And he didn't care about the wrath of the king because he was going to last, because he seen the Lord God in heaven and he was going to follow Him. Tonight, let's just follow Him and go forward. Go forward following Him by faith. How's your faith tonight? And how's your faith in the Lord? I pray that you trust in Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 said, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. you can put your faith in the Lord. You say, I don't have all them things behind me like Moses had for him to go out there. Hey, listen, Moses left the mount over there and God had showed him just a few things. And when he got down there in the land of Egypt, he was believing and trusting God that he was going to bring him out of it. Listen, God just shows us a little bit and gives us a whole book though, but shows us a little bit along the way. And if we'll just trust God and endure, He'll bring us to the end tonight. Let's bow our heads across the house. We get us a verse of invitation tonight. What are you worried with tonight? What are you worried with? Hey, church, listen. Faith, that's believing and trusting God. Moses started out struggling in trusting God. And maybe tonight that's where you're at. You're struggling in trusting God. Having faith in Him. Putting your hope and your trust in Him. But tonight, God has proved Himself over and over and over again. He's proved Himself over and over and over again to me. And you say, well, preacher, He's never proved Himself to me. But won't you come talk to Him? Won't you open this book, begin to read it, and let Him work in your heart and prove Himself to you? Listen, I don't know what your need is. Maybe you're having trouble forsaking Egypt and getting out of there, and that's just all you want to stay in. You can forsake Egypt tonight. Listen, church, if we'll just see Him who's invisible, He's going to get us to the end tonight. Heavenly Father, help during this invitation. I give what You've given me and what I felt would be the message for the hour tonight. I pray that it was encouragement tonight. And Lord, I pray that somebody got some help. Nobody else did, I did. And Lord, I'm glad that You're God, that even though we can't see You, I know You're real, because I sure enough feed You, and I've sure enough seen You work many, many times for me. I've seen You work for me personally, and I appreciate that and thank You for that tonight. Maybe there's somebody tonight that's weak in the faith and they need some help in it, and I pray they'd find it in You tonight. Thank You for Your kindness that You've had upon us, and tell You we love You. Help during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.